The French Parliament's lower house voted today to extend a state of emergency for 3 months. Police are continuing raids following a 7-hour assault yesterday that resulted in the death of the alleged mastermind of the Paris attacks. And France, the U.S., and Russia have increased airstrikes on the Islamic State's strongholds in Syria. Our next guest says that defeating ISIL will take years, though, and bombing them out of their territory could make the group more powerful in other ways. Jessica Stern is co-author of a book called ISIS, The State of Terror. Jessica, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's start first with your reaction to these Paris attacks and their aftermath. What do these attacks say to you about the strength of ISIS today and how far their reach has gone?
Well, the thing we need to understand about this organization is that it's a kind of hybrid organization. It's both a kind of proto-state, a totalitarian state that holds territory in Syria and Iraq. But it's also a transnational terrorist organization. It has millenarian or apocalyptic expectations. It both wants to spread the state it has, which it calls a caliphate, in that region and ultimately throughout the world. But it has another objective, which contradicts that first one, a long-term objective, to goad Rome or the West into a final battle in Dabiq, a town in Syria that it now controls.
So what is it that is so special about this place, Dabiq? Is there something in Quranic scripture or something that makes them want to have an apocalyptic battle in that place?
Yes, Dabiq is mentioned in apocalyptic texts as the place where the final battle will occur. And what I'm told, I'm not an expert on early Islam, but what I'm told is that those who are interested in the apocalypse pull together different texts, not only Islamic texts, but also Christian ones. So it's the Quran itself is not an apocalyptic text, but this is a moment of apocalyptic expectation. You know, Elaine Pagels, who works on eschatology, Christian apocalyptic, points out that we see apocalyptic expectation when people feel especially threatened. And this became common, more common, among Sunni Muslims after 9/11 and the invasion of Iraq. And now we see a growing apocalyptic expectation among ordinary Sunnis.
All right. So you trace the origin of this group, ISIS, actually back to the U.S. invasion of Iraq. Tell us about the history of ISIS.
Yes, you're absolutely right. ISIS is al-Qaeda in Iraq with a different name. The group has changed its names many times. It comes out of the thinking of a man who was an ordinary criminal. He was a thug. He was secular. His mother thought that the way to solve his problems was to ensure he studied religion, but the religion he found was not a religion of peace. It was an excuse to continue what he liked to do, which was thuggery. Zarqawi is this man who was killed in 2006.
Who was essentially the leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq, the group as it was known then.
He formed al-Qaeda in Iraq, that's right. He is almost a mascot for ISIS. His words on Dabiq actually are quoted in every issue of ISIS's online magazine. This group is a, as I said earlier, a hybrid organization. It's a proto-state, a totalitarian state with an insurgent army largely led by Saddam's intelligence and military personnel.
All right, so let's unpack that. So the U.S. invades Iraq in the spring of 2003. The Ba'athist military are essentially recalled. And what comes out of that is this thug, Zarqawi, becomes a follower of al-Qaeda. There's frustration against the United States in the invasion. And many of these Ba'athists and people who were at one point loyal to Saddam, these Sunnis who feel frustrated because they're out of power, now the Shiite majority is in power, they then form together and join al-Qaeda in Iraq. That's how you describe the evolution. And 12 years later, what we're looking at is what is now ISIS, led by Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. So tell us about Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. Who is this man?
He is an Islamic scholar. He actually has the right credentials, unlike bin Laden. He's the self-appointed caliph. He has urged everyone to come, not only fighters, but also engineers, doctors, and those who cannot come or who want to fight in the West, they are urged to stay at home and fight in the West.
Hmm. So what is it that ISIS wants from Europe? Is it that they want places like France, Belgium, Germany to become part of the caliphate? Or is this part of their other side of their mission, the terrorist, overseas terrorist mission?
I see it as part of the overseas terrorist mission. I actually went and looked at all the writings that I happen to have on my computer, which is a lot, trying to figure out what is it about France that they hate in particular. Well, they certainly didn't like it that France went to Mali to fight al-Qaeda there.
In North Africa. They were also pushing for the Libyan invasion as well.
Yes.
That ousted Gaddafi.
France was the first nation to join the United States in bombing ISIS. But they see France as particularly corrupt. And also, there is a population in France that is particularly vulnerable to recruitment to their mission. There are more Muslims in France than any other nation in Europe, and they are mostly living in poverty.
Well, so many of these disadvantaged communities that are largely Muslim have been referred to as breeding grounds for frustration, discontent, anti-Western sentiment. I've seen writings by ISIS saying it's time to throw off your humiliation and take back your dignity. Is there a risk of a similar phenomenon in Muslim communities in the United States, or are they a fundamentally different group?
I would say they're a fundamentally different group. Many of the Muslims in Europe are guest workers, and they haven't been fully integrated. In the United States, Muslims tend to be better educated, wealthier, and most importantly, more likely to vote. They feel American.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there are some pockets that are vulnerable, including, by the way, converts. This is a kind of fad, I think. The ideology of remaking the world, a purer world, less corrupt world, to participate in the creation of what ISIS calls the only Sharia-based state in the world. This is, unfortunately, very exciting to people who want to reinvent themselves, who feel completely unhappy in the society in which they live.
Well, we've certainly heard in the past about some of these lone wolves who were inspired by ISIS or other radical groups having psychological problems and feeling disenfranchised, feeling disconnected from their community. We heard about that with the Boston bombers, for example. Let me ask you, because the attacks in Paris, on the one hand, have certainly strengthened the resolve of France, the United States, perhaps even Russia, to target ISIS in airstrikes in Iraq and Syria. But you make the argument that it could paradoxically make the group more powerful the more we fight them?
Yes. I believe that while we could decimate, we could defeat the state on its territory, that wouldn't take care of the ideology. It wouldn't destroy the motivations of those in Europe who want actually to increase prejudice against Muslim. It is part of their strategy to create chaos. They have a plan that includes increasing Sunni-Shia tensions as well as tensions between Westerners and Muslims.
So they want to make Europe and the United States inhospitable places for Muslims to live as a way of attracting Muslims to their cause. Is
Absolutely.
That right?
Absolutely. They really want Europeans to overreact to Paris by refusing to accept refugees, by engaging in anti-Muslim activities, policies, make Muslims feel so uncomfortable and desperate that they will carry out strikes in ISIS's name.
So in some ways, the strikes could have a paradoxical effect of making ISIS stronger or at least increasing their appeal among some. So in the few moments we have left, is it possible to defeat ISIS?
It is possible to take out the territory, the state that ISIS holds in Syria and Iraq. But it would be a temporary fix. We already tried that with the surge in 2007.
In Iraq.
We destroyed, for temporarily, the predecessor organization to ISIS. But look what happened. It was resurgent because we didn't take care of the real problem, which is the disenfranchisement of Sunni Muslims in Iraq. We didn't take care of the civil war in Syria. It would also, paradoxically, in my view, increase the appeal of the ideology around the world because it would inevitably result in civilian casualties.
We'll have to leave it there this time. That's Jessica Stern, co-author of ISIS, The State of Terror, and a research professor at Boston University. Jessica, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.